Hey y'all, today we are going to take a break from Matthew. We'll be in the Gospel of John, chapter 11, the raising of Lazarus. It's a little bit longer section. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him, saying, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and you are going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him." After saying these things, he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover." Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought he meant taking rest and sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus has died, and for your sake I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe, but let us go to him." So Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us go also, that we may die with him." Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him. But Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him?" But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." So this sign, this miracle in the Gospel of John, is the event that John wants to focus on that leads to Jesus' crucifixion in this account. It is the it is the raising of Lazarus that is going to make the Pharisees and the chief priests decide that they need to kill Jesus. A few things I want to draw out of this very rich passage. One is that there's an emphasis. Mary and Martha say, the one whom you love is ill. Lazarus is identified as a unique friend of Jesus, as a particular friend, and Mary and Martha are also. In fact, it says just after that, that Jesus loved Mary and Martha. So these were personal friends of Jesus, people with whom Jesus stayed. He had a great affection for them. And there's an emphasis all through the Gospel of John on the one that Jesus loves. And I think there's many ways in which those of us who believe in him are to see ourselves included in that circle. So we have both those who have died, whom Jesus loves, and those who are alive and experienced the death of someone that Jesus loves. One of the biggest problems in this passage is Jesus' delay. Why does he delay? This is a theme, I think, that opens up all throughout the Gospel of John. If you consider in the first sign that Jesus did in Cana, Jesus is not there, as it were, when people witness the sign or when people experience the sign. When the disciples are in the ship in the storm, Jesus is on the mountain praying, but he's not with them in the midst of their distress. He comes in time to work a miracle, but he's not with them at that time. Jesus seems absent. Also, the blind man, when he is healed, Jesus is there, but Jesus quickly leaves, and then the blind man, after experiencing this healing, faces all kinds of opposition from the leadership in the temple, and it seems as though, again, Jesus is absent. So, one of the big themes of the Gospel of John is that John wants us to face this fact that Jesus is absent in one sense, and it seems as though we've been abandoned. It seems as though we're overwhelmed, we're opposed, we're sorrowful beyond our capacity to accept. And John wants to teach us what it looks like to follow Jesus when he appears to be absent, when he appears to be late. It is teaching us to trust Jesus in those moments and in those experiences, and sometimes long stretches in life when it seems as though he is not there. Of course, all who will follow Jesus, Jesus makes clear in this passage, even the apparent abandonment in death is undone. But he is wanting us to know what it is like and to see that the disciples themselves on many occasions experience the apparent lack of the Lord so that we can come closer to Jesus. Because one of the interesting things in the passage is that Martha and Mary receive their brother back, but they also come closer to Jesus because of this suffering that they've experienced, because of this apparent absence of the Lord that they've experienced. Another thing that's obvious out of this passage is that Jesus wept. It's so interesting to me. This is one of the most moving passages, and people have always pointed out that the Gospel of John depicts Jesus' divinity maybe more than the other Gospels. Yet in the midst of a gospel that depicts Jesus as the I Am, as sharing that name with the Father, here in this moment we see Jesus' great sorrow at death. And I do think it is the very particular sorrow of the death of his friend Lazarus and how that rends relationship. But I also think this is Jesus' response to death in general. He is the Son of God. He is the Word of the Father. And death is an enemy that he has come to ultimately undo. And I think we are to see his heart here at every death. It is not something that he is indifferent to, but something that he came to overcome. This is what he thinks about death in general. And notice, even though he knew he would raise Lazarus very shortly, he is sorrowing with Mary and Martha. And I think it's a beautiful picture of the heart of the Lord. So then the resurrection itself, and this is a very important passage because this raising of Lazarus also gives us a preview of Jesus' resurrection. It's hinting at and opening up the beginning of Jesus' suffering and his eventual resurrection. And note, it is Jesus' word again that calls forth Lazarus from the dead. Just as John indicates in the beginning of the gospel, it is the word of the Father that brought creation. into being. It is the word of Jesus that brings the dead to life. And I love this little turn when he's discussing with Martha and, you know, he says, "Well, you believe in the resurrection?" And she says, "Yes, Lord, I believe ultimately the dead will be raised." But notice how the conversation turns. It comes to a point and she expresses, "I believe you." And he says, "I am the resurrection." And I think this is a very important idea. Christians don't believe in the idea of the resurrection of the dead. We believe in the resurrection himself. This is not an abstract commitment of our minds. This is a trust in a person. And Mary's trust in Jesus comes to a point. She says, "I believe you're the Messiah. I believe you're the one coming into the world." And she can't map out all the details of what it looks like, but it is a personal confidence in Jesus that he is going to do something about death. And so I just want to stress that personal side of faith, not an abstract idea, but a trust in Jesus himself. And of course, Jesus says, "Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live." So the leadership in Jerusalem, this becomes the moment that causes them to decide to plot to kill Jesus. And what's interesting about it is it's resurrection that causes them to want to kill Jesus. Notice what they're doing. They're cutting off their hand to spite their face, or their nose to spite their face. They are cutting off the possibility of resurrection for themselves because they are rejecting Jesus as the one who is the resurrection. And they say, if we don't do something about Jesus, the Romans are going to come and take our place away. Now, the place that they're referring to is probably the temple. So note the irony here. They're worried about preserving their place, yet resisting Jesus is going to cause the Romans to come and take their place away. It goes right the opposite of what they thought. And this just underlines what Jesus teaches repeatedly in the Gospels. If you try to save your life as you know it, if you try to preserve your life at all costs as you know it, you'll lose it. But if you are willing to lose your life as you know it, to follow Jesus wherever that might take you, you will gain it again. So there's a great tragic irony in that they are suicidal. In their effort to kill Jesus, they are winding up cutting themselves off from resurrection. So I just want to close and go back to that question. Jesus says to Martha, "Do you believe this?" And I think we should picture him looking at her with, again, great sorrow in his heart, great love for Martha. And I think this is a question that the text and the Spirit and the Lord himself asks all of us in every circumstance when it seems as though the Lord has abandoned us, when he is not present, when we're in the storm, when we're being opposed, when we have lost loved ones. Jesus looks at each one of us and says, "Do you believe this?" And he calls forth our response of, "Lord, I believe you are the one sent into the world. I believe you are the one sent into the world ultimately to undo death. Because, Lord Jesus, you are the resurrection and the life."